I'm going to go ahead and get started. We don't have quorum with just the people in the room, but I think we can go ahead and get roll call and start on some of these updates and then get the rest of you on as soon as possible. So just hang in there, and if you are unmuted and the phone tells you so, please speak up and let us know. Okay, thank you. Okay, so I'm going to call the meeting to order. And for roll call, Nate Bauer?
Here.
Chris Bex?
Here.
Chad Olson? Evelyn Pinsgard? Susie Carson? Here. Stacey Houdeshell? Samara Tabor?
Here.
Brandy Marrero? Leon Wu?
Here.
Melody Hughes? Allie Englert, Leslie Walls, Dean Ojala, Jamie Warwick, Jessica McCallum,
here.
Sue Mitchell, Jesse Atencio, Brad Crick,
here.
Chris Brooks, Mercedes Anderson, Matthew Mund,
here.
Jane Grossclose,
here.
Kim Eames, Janelle Merrifield,
here.
Phil Jacobs,
here.
Selena Brown, Trish Winners, Constance Huizenga, Jim Jones. Okay. Anyone whose name I did not call? Okay, so we do not have quorum yet, which we would need for taking action, but I believe we can continue and do run through the status of pending actions, and then as soon as we get the people on the phone on, we can proceed. We don't actually have any actions to take on the agenda today, just some updates, and then the Chancellor will come and give us as much of an update as anyone has at this point on the budget situation. Can I that they were supposed to have, so they had not actually formally written it up and submitted it, even after we voted and passed it at Staff Alliance and sent it forward. They just missed the boat on that one. And so I've been harassing them, trying to get them to write it up and submit it since it was passed months ago now. And Chris pointed out it's been over a year now since we passed our resolution and submitted it to Staff Alliance. So we are hoping to get that squared away. They said it should have been submitted by Friday. I didn't have an update this morning. I think probably it has not been. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Brad, do you know, do Nate and I count for quorum?
No.
Okay. Thanks.
Is this on there?
There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. So I will continue to send them pestering emails at least every week until we finally get that sent forward, because it's important and it's frustrating that it's taking this long. On the Staff Alliance Task Force to review the review process versus the grievance process for the layoff revisions and make recommendations. We are actually going to need a new representative for this. Jeff won't be able to do that position, which we're incredibly sad about. But if you're interested in serving on that committee, I don't think it's kicked in yet, or I don't think they've done anything with it yet, so you'd be coming in fresh. If you just want to let Nate and myself know, and we can appoint you, I think that'll be important because there's still a real lack of clarity for staff as to what was really changed when they changed the grievance process to the review process. So, yes, if you have interest in that, just send an email to me and Nate, and we'll see about getting someone on. UAF term-funded internal applicant policy, we mentioned this to the chancellor and pre-staff last week. He was actually, I think, somewhat surprised to realize he still hadn't signed this thing and put it into place. So we brought it to his attention that it has not been signed and that we really do want it in place before he leaves as a formal UAF policy. I know the draft had gone back and forth between his office and HR a few times, and with a lot of transition with the HR director when Brad left a couple months ago now, but they just need to pick that one back up and finalize it. So we'll be hounding that one as well until we see a final policy, but he did commit to having that signed and in place this summer. Hopefully the budget situation will settle down shortly and we can get back to normal work, and that would be one of the normal things. On the resolution requesting involvement in the selection of chancellor and interim chancellor, he said he was fully supportive of that after we passed it and reiterated that support to the president directly. So he fully expects that staff council will have a member on the search committee for the new chancellor and should have input on the interim chancellor. There probably won't be an actual committee for the interim chancellor. It'll just be a search.
Hey, can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
Fine.
Hello?
Hey, hello.
Wow. Okay. Well, roll call. I said here.
let me just run through the names real quick for roll call then. Chad Olson. Okay. Melody Hughes.
Here.
All right. Allie Englert. Leslie Walls.
Here.
Dina Jala. Jamie Warrick?
Here.
Sue Mitchell?
Here.
Jesse Atencio? Chris Brooks?
Here.
Tim Eames? Selena Brown? Trish Winters? Constance Zinga?
Here.
Jim Jones? All right, and now we have quorum. Thank you guys so much for bearing with us on the phone, and I'm really, really sorry about that. Like I said, Nicole is teaching a class right now, and without her here, we were fairly helpless, but thank you, Jane, for coming to the rescue, too. So were you guys able to hear the status of pending actions so far?
Yes.
On the phone?
This is Connie. I was.
Okay, great. So I'll just finish up with those, and then the chancellor should be here any moment. Here he is, walking in right now. So the last one on there was the Staff Volunteer Day proposal and resolution, which was submitted to the chancellor's office, and once he has a chance to review that, we should hear something back over the course of the summer. So with those done, we'll just move right into chancellor's remarks.
Good morning, everyone. I had hoped that this morning I'd be able to say something about our budget.
Can you step closer to a mic, please?
Oh. There's a little...
Hello?
Oh.
Okay, is that better?
Much. You
know? I'd hope to be able to say something about the budget. We're still on hold, in large part awaiting the legislature completing its work. But to review where we are, the legislature passed a short-funded budget. The governor signed a portion of it, vetoed a portion of it. So we have approval to spend 28% of our general funds for the year and all of our generated revenue for the year. That puts us in the position of being able to operate through the summer. We're hoping the legislature comes to an agreement in the next couple of days. This week, I'll be sending out the budget targets to each of the offices based on the budget as approved by the legislature a month ago, with the caveat that it is subject to further change by the legislature, by the governor, by the regents, by the president, by me, and by the vice chancellors responsible. But otherwise, that's the budget. The big unknown is what the status of pay will be. As passed by the legislature over a month ago, there was no funding for pay raises and specific disallowance of pay raises. We've had several versions since that fund, one that funds half of pay raises, one that funds none of pay raises but says they need to be paid anyway, one that gives an unallocated reduction, and it's just at this point an unknown how this is going to come out, with essentially four parties negotiating, the Senate majority, the House majority, the House minority, and the governor. And so I think the only thing I can guarantee is that the budget that goes out this week will not is highly unlikely to be the final budget. You're probably all aware that today the governor's the state will be sending out layoff notice to all of its employees. We are not doing that at the university. For a couple of reasons. One, given our generated revenues, we do and the general funds appropriated so far, we do have sufficient funds to operate for several months. And in particular, summer sessions and research can go on based on that generated revenue. Two, unlike the state, we have a furlough policy, and so have the choice of furloughs rather than layoffs, which is vastly preferable. And much easier to rescind, but at this point we don't need to take that action. Three, any university-wide decision really needs to be made by the president, recommended by the president, and made by the Board of Regents. They meet at the end of this week. President's summit team meets today, and I expect over the course of this week we might see some further work on what to do. I continue to have faith that the legislature and governor will get an agreement worked out. A shutdown is certainly not in anyone's interest, and even the threat of it is a substantial drag on the state. But so we are putting some effort into planning, but I don't think we'll have to execute on that plan. And I know there'll be questions, and I'll come back and take questions on budget or impacts of possible budget decisions. The second item I wanted to raise is the chancellor replacement process. The president's basically going to do this in a two-part process with appointment of an interim chancellor who would potentially overlap a couple of weeks with me and then go through next spring, probably June 1, and then a full search for a chancellor that would kick off with the fall semester. The first process, filling the interim, I expect the president, after discussion with the Board of Regents, will propose several names and ask for comments from the community. Staff council would have an opportunity, I assume, to meet with those candidates and to
comment. That's very similar to the process when I was hired, that groups had the opportunity to meet with those named candidates. And then for the search committee that would begin sometime in August, the staff council will have a representative on that search committee. And the president will make that decision, but we'll do the support out of the Fairbanks office. Third item I wanted to raise is the Board of Regents meets this week. Actually, this week is chock full of meetings on this campus with the University Foundation Board of Trustees meeting tomorrow. On Wednesday, the Board of Regents meets jointly with the State Board of Education on common issues in the morning and jointly with the Foundation Board of Trustees in the afternoon. Thursday and Friday is Board of Regents meetings in the Butrovich building. Then Friday evening, Saturday, and Sunday, Governor Walker's transition team will be starting the discussion of what kind of a state do we want to be when we grow up and how are we going to pay for it. And that will be in this extended room here with breakouts in the Greening building. The university is providing logistical support to that, essentially making our facilities available for free, dorms available at a very reduced rate in order to help the state keep the cost down. And I think it's important that we be part of that discussion. I think I've said to this group last month, but if I haven't, I'll repeat it. You know, basically, the first question is, what do you want in terms of services? And that really needs a public discussion. The second is, how are you going to pay for it? And given our current revenues, we only have really four choices: cut the budget further, institute some form of broad-based taxation like an income tax, use some of permanent fund income, potentially not affecting the dividend, potentially affecting the dividend, or some combination of oil price production and taxes, changing the amount of revenue we come from that comes from the petroleum business. I don't see any way of getting to a balance that I think the public will accept unless we do all four of those. Some further budget cuts, a broad-based tax, some use of permanent fund income, and some adjustments, either production and price come up or some adjustment on the tax credit side. But that's one person's opinion. So with that, the question on the volunteer day, we will be taking that up this month as in cabinet to look at how we might institute that. We've frankly been so swamped with dealing with multiple versions of the FY16 budget and the possibility of a shutdown, I just haven't gotten to it, and I apologize for taking extra time. I really appreciate the work that went into that. And with that, I'll answer any questions that members of staff council have. It's not clear to me exactly how the state will be laying everyone off. They'll be recalling some. You know, certainly the curtailment of state operations has impacts on us in terms of road maintenance around the campus, in terms of the ability to process any state forms. Any university employee whose driver's license expires, I would say renew it this month because you may not be able to next month. So there's some impacts like that. An actual shutdown at the university, would come later in the would come after the summer session. We know we have enough funds to make it through that, and it could have drastic impacts. The university shutdown, but the state shutdown, it would affect certainly the ability to process any state paperwork. So anyone who is retiring in July or August could have retirement paperwork held up. I'm just guessing at this, but essentially anything that state agencies do, any of you that have interaction with state agencies, there may be nobody there to answer the phone.
Would you expect that any state-funded grants and contracts we have would also be postponed?
If the state-funded grant has already been issued, then we can proceed. We are unlikely to be able, the funds have already been appropriated. We might not have anybody there to transmit funds to us, but that's a cash flow issue for us, and I don't think would be a material for several months at least. It is possible any sort of service contracts we have, RSAs, reimbursable service agreements, could be put on hold. In fact, I would expect that to be the case. But again, they're still scrambling for the same reason that we haven't put huge amounts of effort into this. Nobody can quite believe that they're willing to play that level of brinksmanship to allow a shutdown to actually happen. Other impacts that might happen with the state, anyone who's who's working for us under ORP but is a state retiree from earlier PERS service with the state, there might be impacts on retirement for them, on retirement health care, for example. Trying to think who else has regular interaction with state agencies that certainly the state virology lab on campus will shut down. Any other state functions on the campus would shut down. So let's not have any virus outbreaks after July 1 because
do you know off the top of your head with the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education for the student loans be impacted as well? Would our students not be able to collect on financial aid at the start of the semester?
This shutdown work August, I would expect that to be the case. You know, certainly we would, based on the awards, our job will be to figure out how to minimize impacts. And so there are several things we could potentially do, and one would be just to sort of hold in abeyance all collection and essentially record those as if the money is here and not hold up the student.
Do we have other questions in the room?
So let's say there's going to be a shutdown, and it will last until September, October, maybe November. Then do you have any predictions what's going to happen to us, the university? Is that going to affect students?
If there's a shutdown at the state level, it'll happen July 1. If it gets to that point, we'll have to make a decision about whether we can whether we have sufficient funds to make it through the semester or not, and by about July 1 make a decision as to whether we're open this fall or not.
There is a potential possibility that it will affect students in class.
There is the potential. Again, I'd give 100 to 1 or better odds that it won't happen at that level. So, you know, I think I'm not really concerned about that. At all. It is unthinkable that the legislature would allow it to proceed to that level.
Other questions in the room?
On the topic of pay raises, the people I've been talking to, we've all been kind of operating under the assumption we're going to see a zero increase for the next fiscal year. That's been our assumption. And some people have asked me, well, might we see a year ago we had, or was it this year, we had two personal holidays. And they asked me, do you think that's something UA or UAF might consider, for next year if there's no increase? Do you see an option like that being feasible, like an extra personal holiday or something else that's either not a direct pay increase or is maybe a smaller pay increase, something like that, that we could fund internally?
Well, anything we're going to fund internally is going to be, at this point, given that, we're over 10% reduction in our general fund and fixed costs. We're, anything we're going to fund is going to come from further layoffs. And so we're going to have to do some staff reductions in order to get to the level we're already at. So anything further would require more. I think it's unlikely just given the what a challenge we're going to have making this budget and the FY17. I'd be surprised.
Anything else in the room?
There's been no discussion of reducing the benefit days, no. Actually, there is one thing that might impact. One of the ideas that's floated a couple of times would be to do and this, it's not a net annual pay raise, but to give everyone an hourly or biweekly raise and then furlough to equal it so that brings everyone up in terms of their hourly pay, essentially, so that at such time as our budget comes back, people are full-time at the higher pay level. So, you know, theoretically, every 1% increase would require a 20-hour furlough. And so, you know, you essentially, that approach is cost neutral to the university, but raises people's hourly pay or their biweekly pay to a new level. The only advantage to that is really a future advantage, that it moves people up the pay scales for when we do recover from this, the current budget fix.
Do we have questions on the phone? I hear static on the phone. Is someone trying to speak? Yeah. Can people on the phone confirm that you're still on the line?
I'm still here. Honey, I'm on the line.
Okay.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's
thanks.
Still here?
I just wanted to make sure we didn't lose you. So last chance questions on the phone. Okay, just speak up if you have any. I'm going to go back to the room now. Matthew?
You're going to have to repeat that. We can't hear him.
The question is about the potential pay freezes, which haven't come through yet, but do those affect only those that are funded by general funds, or those also funded by auxiliaries?
That covers all positions. Essentially, the pay scales are the same regardless of a funding source.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just as a final, you know, as this moves forward, I think throughout the president, the chancellors, the executive staff are very conscious of the impacts on people of this, A, this uncertainty, and B, things that might occur that are outside our control. And so we've kind of tried to brainstorm what kinds of things can we do that minimize impacts or maximize certainty. We're not doing very well on the latter, but, you know, there are some things we can do that would, for example, if we had an extended furlough period allowing people to cash in annual leave at a higher rate than we've done in the past might be the kind of thing that covers people financially, because we know there are a number of employees who are close to paycheck or don't have huge amounts of savings. And we'll continue to be cognizant of that challenge that may be imposed on us by the state's inability to come to an agreement if it comes to that. And again, I continue to be hopeful that it won't.
Okay. Thank you, Chancellor. Okay, I don't see anyone here in the room, but do we have anyone on the phone for a public comment? I didn't think so. Okay. Officers' reports. Pretty much you got my report in the status of pending actions
most of what I've been up to this week has been harassing the Staff Alliance office. So hopefully we will hear something from that soon. The next Staff Alliance meeting will be next week. I'll be out of town, but Chris and Nate will be attending, and we'll be following up on that to keep it on the front burner, so that hopefully that can just get moved along. All the voting and discussion and everything has been done on that. It's just basically housekeeping for them to submit a signed piece of paper to the president and HR director, so that that can hopefully be moved forward from the administration side. So did you have a question, Matthew? You looked. I think you were about to. Okay. So, again, hopefully, I think a lot of the things we normally would be working on or moving on at this time are related to the budget. Things like the Planning and Budget Committee hasn't been in operation because, well, one, a lot of the work the Planning and Budget Committee normally does is choosing things to invest in the next year. You know, what are our big asks going to be? Where are we going to ask for particular programmatic funding? We're probably not going to be asking for much of anything this year. We're just trying to not take too many cuts year after year, but certainly we are expecting next year's budget to be a cut as well. So a lot of the things have basically just been in this real limbo while we wait to see if the House and Senate can now get to a compromise and move something forward. Same with compensation. Normally we'd be putting forward a what we believe would be fair compensation increases for next year, not this coming July, but the year after. We'd normally have had that pretty much prepped and be submitting it over the course of the summer. That's also in this weird limbo. We wanted to wait and see what happened with compensation this year. That's just an incredibly murky picture still. So hopefully we'll be able to move a few of those needles over the summer. And then we won't be having the staff council meeting in July. That'll be executive board will just be meeting. But certainly if we have any updates, we'll be communicating them out. And if we have anything where we can get feedback and transmit feedback, we'll be asking for it. So I think that's most of what I had. So yes, just waiting on the legislature, basically. Nate, did you have anything you wanted to say?
Very little. About 40 minutes into our new term, I have little to report. I would point out one thing regarding the staff council involvement in the selection of the chancellor. One suggestion that Chancellor Rogers had for us in anticipation of that committee being formed is to identify someone from our ranks as a potential individual for that committee. And so if anyone has interest in that, I guess I would suggest that that you come forward and let us know, because I anticipate that being something on, if not the August agenda, then, in the months coming to come.
Yeah, I expect probably we would be appointing even over the summer, so that we're in advance. Yeah, the chancellor thought it would, though he fully expects us to be invited to nominate someone, he thought we might as well just go ahead and nominate someone and send it forward to the president, and then they've got to put us on because we've sent them a name. But he has been told that we'll be included. So, if that's something that you're interested in, same thing, just let us know, and we'll go through the names. All right. So for unfinished business, we had the budget update, which is still unfinished. The chancellor gave pretty much the rundown, which is, if you haven't been following it closely, the House passed what they considered to be a compromise budget on Friday night, late Friday night, I believe. A little after midnight. That went back to the Senate now. The Senate rejected it. So the Senate came back with a different budget that undoes all of the compromises that the House put in, basically. So now they'll be negotiating between the House and the Senate on that. They had been negotiating within the House. And the big issue really comes down to less than 1% of the budget that are things the Democrats want included, which are mostly funding for education, that the and the pay increases for state employees that were at least the union negotiated ones, although that's balanced out by a cut. So we would basically, the pay raises would go through, but we'd just have to eat them on the back end. The House doesn't want either of those things, and or sorry, the Senate doesn't want either of those things in, so now they'll be negotiating again. But again, it's less than 1% of the budget. And as the Chancellor said, it's now looking like a four-party negotiation because the Senate has enough of a majority to act with their the Senate Republicans basically are one party. The Senate Democrats are sort of out of the negotiation because there aren't enough of them. And then the House Democrats, the House Republicans, and then all that has to get through the governor at the end. It certainly seems like the governor will accept whatever they put forward as long as it's fully funded at this point. And hopefully in conference committee now the Senate and the House can get to something. But it's sort of looking like we're at the same place we were 40 days ago at the start of the special session. So we'll just be waiting and seeing. Best case scenario, it looks like we'd still be taking at least a 10% cut to the university budget, university general fund budget. So that's equivalent to about, I think you said 20 million, which is equivalent to about 200 positions, but that's across the university, I believe.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can get to it through not entirely positions, but that is where most of our budget is as people. So.
Faye, in your estimation, I wonder if it seemed for the last couple of weeks that June 1st, these layoff notices being sent out were being held up as a point of urgency, as
mm-hmm.
a deadline. That deadline is now passed. Do you think that it's less urgent for them as a result to do something immediately?
Well, I think maybe not, and this is just totally personal conjecture. I think it was like the hard deadline. Those state employees are getting their layoff notices today, but those layoff notices will have a really real impact even before people stop working, right? They got their layoff notices today because that's the latest they can get them for state employees to stop working on July 1st. So the notices they get today say July 1st, you're laid off. But that means people aren't, even in my office, I've already heard with questions of the furlough, people aren't fixing the AC in their cars. They're not fixing, anything that can be put off expense-wise is being put off, which means there's a real impact on the rest of the state economy that I'm hoping will be heard, because there are certainly plenty of politicians in our legislature who feel like if public employees don't get paid, that's a good thing. There's that narrative, certainly. I'm hoping that when it hits the private sector as well, and they're hearing from small business owners in their community as well, that, wow, we're not getting paid either, because the state employs an awful lot of people who are now no longer comfortable spending money. And I think, now the clock is ticking as well, where if they don't get it fixed, there'll be 10,000 people out of work come July 1st. As the Chancellor pointed out, we have a different notice period at the university. We do have 30 days layoff notice for non-exempt employees, for hourly employees. We have a 60-day furlough period notice for all employees, and then we have a 90-day layoff period for exempt employees. In pre-staff, the Chancellor said to us, because of that longer layoff period notice for exempt employees, and since they're generally higher paid, it makes more sense to go the furlough route than to lay off on the different timescales. That the furlough makes more sense financially, and it's better for employees to some extent because we're not actually being laid off. But again, that's, you know, if there were to be a furlough notice, I would expect it to come sometime this month with the idea that it would be starting at the end of the summer. We do have enough money in the budget that was passed to operate through the end of August at, like, normal operations, essentially. So the timelines are frustrating in terms of uncertainty because, obviously, I think there are many of us who really, really would need to know whether or not we are going to be paid this fall and how long that would be. But it also, at least for us, we have that longer notice period, which means there's more time before we actually see an impact for the legislature to fix things. So, yeah, if there were a furlough notice and then they fix things, the furlough would get rolled back, basically, before it actually happened. And so I'm hoping that now that the layoff notices are going to state employees, there's that incentive to get their acting gear, get something passed before any state employees actually go off payroll. Because, yeah, the impacts of that are just severe. I do think, you know, we are at a point now, at least. I guess I said earlier, it feels like we're where we were 40 days ago. We are at a point now, though, where the House and the Senate both have budgets and are now coming together to negotiate, which is what leaders from the Senate had been saying. Well, you know, we did our part. It was with the House. We were just waiting. So they hadn't been really doing anything the last 40 days budget-wise in the Senate. They were waiting for the House. So hopefully now that the House knows where they can get to a compromise, there can be a little more progress. It does feel like the pace certainly kicked up over the weekend. Things were all of a sudden moving and being passed and coming in and out. We could have a budget tomorrow. We could have a budget this week. We could not. I think the uncertainty is the really frustrating part because it's hard to plan, certainly. And we really don't want to be losing good people to that uncertainty. I think they're certainly doing more damage than is immediately visible. But, yeah. That's, I guess, where we're at is just, I do think, as the Chancellor said, it's pretty unthinkable that they would let it get to the point of a shutdown. But, I mean, if you'd asked me 2 months ago, I would have thought it was unthinkable that we were still waiting for a budget 40 days into a special session. So plenty of room for hope, but certainly plenty of reason for frustration, too.
The only other thing, do you want to circle back and approve the agenda?
Yes, sorry. Do we want to go back and have a motion to approve this agenda now that we have quorum? Okay, all in favor? Okay, any opposed? Any discussion? Okay, agenda is passed. All right, do not know how to turn off.
Faye, can I interrupt real quick and ask you and Nate about the action that was voted on by email last week, the resolution to be sent to the legislature. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, Nicole, so the deadline for voting was end of the day Friday, and those votes were sent to Nicole, who is teaching this morning. So I think, I believe, though, all the last time I checked the spreadsheet, they were unanimously in favor. I just hadn't seen a total count and a quorum. So I'll follow up with her this afternoon once she's out of class, and hopefully she'll have one passed and we can sign it. And the goal, I think the plan for that is to send it to our legislative liaison for the university, who could then use it as best suited, to see if there's any impact there. So, yeah, I've seen excellent communications from all sides on this that just don't seem to be resonating with the legislature. They really seem to be kind of in their own little world down there right now. But we can keep communicating, keep trying to get it across, and at least have it on the record, and at least say, you know, this is what we're doing. I just I've seen some really great public stands taken, and letters to the editor, and lots of communication that I'm just not seeing that translate into real action on their side. But we should have that anyway this afternoon, hopefully, and get it sent off to either Chris or Ann Ringstead. I'm going to try to turn off the recording, unless Jane is still listening in and has a way to do that. Jane, are you with us?